let's get right to it and ask where Greg Vanney's allegiances lie here as we bring him on to Tim and Sid. Greg, first off, congratulations on getting through to the round of 16. And I guess a further congratulations on the fact everyone seems healthy and okay. What's it like down there?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to talk to you. It's good. You know, the beginning was a little bit fuzzy, you know, getting all the teams in and getting the positive tests, you know, dealt with, and those teams that were having a hard time getting them out. And now everything is smooth. Guys are in a good place. I think all the teams are just really focused on the competition now. It's been pretty exciting, you know, just watching games all the time. And every game has this dual purpose of league play, but also this event that we're all trying to win. So it's been, you know, from that side, it's been good. There's a lot of downtime, as you can imagine, just at the resort where just guys are just hanging out and can't really do a whole lot or go anywhere. But everybody's good, and we're good. It's happy. You know, everybody's happy to be back on the field and competing. And you know, the guys are doing well, managing some tough 9 a.m. games, but everybody's doing well.
Yeah, that seemed like a tough one today. I mean, I don't know who wanted the 0-0 draw, but both end up advancing with the 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
It starts cool, or it starts not so hot and then gets scorching. Like, that seemed like a real tough one to gut through.
Yeah, the you know, every game that's been played so far at 9 a.m. has been very similar. They're just not many goals usually. The game is, like you said, it starts off with a little bit because guys are kind of fresh, and the, you know, the 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour is kind of manageable, but when it hits 10 o'clock, the temperature jumps up another 4 or 5 degrees. When guys come out of halftime, it's hot and guys are exhausted, and it's managing. It's you know, trying not to make mistakes. It's trying to get capitalized on the team's mistakes. It's really a game of moments and a game that isn't very fast paced and there's not a lot of tempo to it. It just, there's a few moments in these games that show up. And the question is, do you take advantage of those moments today? Neither team did. So no goals. We're okay. You know, we're comfortable with the 0-0. We did not go into the game looking for a 0-0, but we're comfortable with it because it keeps us for the time being on top of the group and puts us into the next round. But, you know, we were there to try to score goals. We just didn't capitalize on the moments that we had.
Greg Vanney, head coach of Toronto FC, here on Tim and Sid. Greg, out of curiosity, why, forgive me for the lay question, would playing at 6 Eastern not be better than 9 a.m.? What was the reasoning for the 9 a.m.?
When they were setting up the tournament, the time period between like 5 and 7 is the highest possibility of precipitation, I think, here. And so their concern was, A, you have the heat, and B, you have the possibility of a lot of games getting delayed or rained out or postponed or whatever. And so they were trying to stay out of that time period for a number of reasons. So then they get slipped down to, you know, to the morning, which is really, from a heat perspective, the only next possibility. And all of us, you know, all of us down here, coaches, everybody is, as we've been talking about the 9 a.m. games, even from the league perspective, they know they're challenging, but there wasn't a great solution to it. And we've all just tried to endure and get, you know, take as many points out of it. You know, unfortunate for us, we've had to play two of them. We're the only team that's playing two of them. And you know, our games got squeezed together a little bit because of our delayed arrival down here. So we've had a tough path just in terms of the times of our games and the proximity of our games. But our guys they've gutted it out, and now we're excited to move on to the knockout round and play at night and have a little bit of time to recover between this game and the next game.
So while Vancouver and Montreal have struggled a wee bit, TFC is through. Head coach Greg Vanney joining us here on Tim and Sid. So do you guys gather as a team and watch Montreal and DC United tonight because there isn't a hell of a lot to do in the bubble?
No, we don't actually. But guys are, you know, we get together for meals, and even then guys have the option to grab a meal, go to their room. But by and large, we don't do a whole lot of things together. Guys are, you know, pretty socially distanced, even though we're testing every other day and sometimes every day when we get closer to games. And so there's still there's a level of diligence that's going on within our group. And I think a lot of the groups just to keep that social distancing concept in place, and guys will watch it on their own and in their rooms, and probably a lot of texting and a lot of communicating, but not a lot of gathering.
Greg Vanney, TFC head coach, here on Tim and Sid. All right, Io Akinola, Greg. Revelation to a lot of us. I'm sure you might have seen this coming, or maybe not, depending on what type of answer
five
you give
goals,
us.
Two but games.
Five goals, two games. He didn't score today, but listen, the kid was active. I mean, I caught as much of the game as I could, and he seemed, you know, nearly drew a penalty for you guys with about 5 minutes to go. You represented the United States 37 times. You are now, though, we consider you Canadian property. We consider you one of our own. You are a manager. You have been
now,
yes, yeah. And we're all proud Canadians. But we're gonna get personal, Greg. Forgive me, but this is a big ask I got of you. You have represented Canada in MLS 3 out of the last 4 years in MLS Cup. You are one of the best coaches in this entire region. In fact, going back to the regular season, you haven't lost a game in 15 straight matches. You are on that kind of run. You have pull. Does Greg Vanney ask the young man, Io Akinola, to lean American, because he has three choices here, Nigeria, Canada, America. Do you ask him to lean America when it comes to international duty? Or do you sway him to play with the Alfonso Davies of the world? And with all due respect to the States, they don't have a player like that. Alfonso Davies, Pulisic's pretty good, don't get me wrong. But Davies is pretty good. What can you do us this favor and let the kid realize the red and white, and this might go against every fiber of your being, is where he needs to go?
So I think the first thing is that one of these two national teams at the full men's national team level need to show the kid their interest. You know, that neither has at this point. I'm sure they are interested now because he has emerged with great style here over the last couple of weeks. But I think that's the first thing, is that he needs to, within those two organizations, they need to show that he's important to them, that he's somebody they want. When it comes to that, I think for me, I would, if he comes to me and asks me for advice, I think it's to be able to look at and what each team looks like and what each sort of federation or association can do for him and provide him. And so there was a time, to be honest with you guys, about a year ago where he and I sat down and I said, look, if Canada comes to you, then I think you should be strongly considered, even though you've gone through the U.S. youth structure and they've invested heavily also because he was at the residency in your development. I think you should seriously consider it. I think you know, if they're ready for you. They didn't come calling at that time, so he didn't really have a decision to make. So I hope now that you know what he's shown, that he will have that option. And if he comes and advises me, I'll try to ask him the right question so he chooses the right direction, but I can't really say what that direction would be. But I think he would fit in well with the likes of Davies and that crew. I think he's gonna do well. I've seen this coming. I just needed him to see it's coming and put in the work that he needed to get himself to where it is. But I've always believed in this young man's future. I coached him when I arrived in the academy when he was 13, and so I've always believed in him. I'm really happy for him right now.
For those who don't know, he's
that's
also
kind of a non-answer, guys. But
no, that's more
that's
than
pretty
we
good
thought
answer.
We were going to get.
Pretty good
actually.
Answer, Greg. Pretty good answer.
Yeah, that's more than we thought we were going to get. So he's not necessarily a surprise to you. He's been a surprise to many. It was real interesting for me to see, one, that Josie Altidore was out there and that you played them together. Do you think you can do that more often? And how did Josie look to you?
Yeah, I thought Josie came in and made an immediate impact. You know, he got on the ball. We all know Josie. All our fans have seen him. You guys have seen him. He's more than just a goal scorer. He can set up goals. He can drop in. He's a good soccer player all around. So you can play other pieces around Josie. He doesn't have to be the only forward. At times, he even likes having another forward with him. And so because then they kind of find themselves in these one-on-one matchups where they're very difficult to handle. That's something that we can do and we will look at doing as we continue to get Josie ready to go for more minutes and as, you know, as Io continues to develop his game. So that's something we'll definitely look at. You know, one of the things over the last couple of years is Io had played a lot on the wings, both with the national teams and, you know, in his eyes, he kind of saw himself at times as a winger, that he was more comfortable as a winger. I've always seen him as a striker and a guy who has just an incredible amount of power, speed, and directness in front of the goal that is a nightmare for defenders. And part of this process is to get him to understand that's who he is, that's going to be as a pro, and this is how he's going to be successful. And so, and getting himself, you know, in the right fitness and in the right mentality to be that goal scorer. And he's made that transition. He's worked incredibly hard over the last 4 or 5 months just to get himself fit and strong. And he's reaping the rewards. It's his work that's really allowed him to be successful. But now he's in the vision of how I always saw him. You know, other people have seen him on the wing. I don't see it. I see a guy who can score 25 goals in our league. And he, even today, when he didn't score, he still had a number of chances that either he created or that the guy slipped him through. And if he puts those away today, he comes away with 2 more goals and maybe a penalty kick. So he's going to continue to get those opportunities because he's just so hard to deal with.
I am so happy you don't see him as a winger. I am so happy that that's the case. No, but like you said it, like we've said a couple times in this conversation, he is so active. His runs off the ball. He's just that shoulder dig on the hat trick goal in the second game, which was clean as a whistle, by the way. Like just he is so aggressive and skilled. So are you telling me, Coach Vanney, you're not against the idea of some kind of diamond with Altidore, Akinola, and Pozuelo maybe tucked in behind? You're not adverse to that?
No, I'm not adverse to that, and or some other variation as well. We've got to figure out how we get Pozuelo in the right place and utilize all of the other guys that we feel can also be a big part of it. But I think the two of them at times for us for sure can be a handful for the opposition. I am absolutely not. And those of you who have seen our team over the years, not afraid to shift up our system a little bit to take advantage of some of those things. And so, but between Pablo and Pozuelo and getting all of our pieces on the table, I'm not at all opposed to seeing those two play together and just having them terrorize defenders when the time is right.
I'm sure fan base is fine with it too.
Yeah, head coach of TFC, Greg Vanney, joining us here on Tim and Sid. Something your fan base has seen a lot of is Seattle. I'm sure you've seen a lot of Seattle. Last time I checked, that's still a possibility. Is there like part of you that just doesn't want to see Seattle until later?
I don't care. We will take Seattle anytime because it's for us. It's always a game that's easy to get up for. Obviously, we tend to find them in big games just by the nature of the Western and Eastern Conference scenario. But it's a knockout game now that we're into the next round. So for us, these are all big games. And I know our guys will be excited for it. And we haven't forgot the last one, I assure you, that we played them. And so we'll be ready to go. And we'll see what happens tonight. It's at 10:30. It's going to be a late night for all of us. But we'll find out where we're at and have a better sense of who we play by the end of tonight.
The game that Coach Vanney is referencing, and Coach, correct me if I'm wrong at all, DC and Montreal, if DC win by 2 goals or more, Toronto FC will finish second in the group and play Saturday against Philadelphia. If DC do not win by that margin at all, then Toronto will win the group and play against an opponent on Sunday. I got that right?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Perfect. All right, so eventually, Greg, this tournament's going to end. Eventually, it's been that kind of show for me, Greg. That's why I asked if I got it correct. Eventually, this tournament is going to end and more of a reality and a more consistent reality is going to set in with all of MLS. And the Toronto Blue Jays just over the weekend got some news they didn't expect to hear. What did you make of that? And how do you think that will affect not just your team, but all three franchises across Major League Soccer?
Well, it wasn't great news for us. I know from an organizational standpoint, we were hoping that the Blue Jays would be able to secure the home games, and that would at least create some precedent for us. And now that they didn't, obviously there's going to be challenges for us to be able to secure home games. So we'll see. I don't have a final answer. We're looking at all options. I imagine that our schedule will play the two Canadian teams a couple times, maybe a couple times each, just because we don't have to cross the borders and get some of those games in. What it's going to look like and where we're going to get these games is still really to be determined. But I know that ruling didn't really play favorable for us in terms of trying to get back into our stadium and play home games as it relates to MLS anytime soon. So we'll see how that plays out.
Well, you can figure that out after this tournament. Before we let you go, we've been hearing a lot about the bubbles in the NBA and MLS, what it'll end up being in the NHL. And there's been a lot of negative talk about it. And I get it. Listen, I would miss my family a ton, like I'm sure you do.
Sure.
What's the best part of the bubble? Is there like some real good gelato? Is it like a pinball machine? Like, is there anything redeeming where Greg Vanney has been like, thank God they got this?
Wow, I don't have a great answer for that. No, you know, look, the best thing for, I'm a soccer junkie, so the best thing for me so far is that there's games on TV all the time, and so I'm work and I watch TV. In terms of things available to us, there's really not all that much. So, but the setup is, it's comfortable. If not, it's not perfect. It was never going to be perfect. It's comfortable. I think everybody has relaxed in terms of the fears. I think guys, like I said, are focused on the game, and you know, and the games are meaningful right now. So it's nice having not had soccer for approximately 4 months to now have just a big dose of it here, where you know, we're playing pretty quick every 3 to 4 days, and games are on every night. There's something to at least engage us during this time period. We're not sitting here mindlessly. We have things going on, and that's good. You couldn't do it forever, but we can do it for the amount of time we need to do it for. That's for sure. And of course, our guys miss the families, but we're going to try to do this till the end and try to come away with a trophy at the end.
Was it a little bit unnerving right off the top? Like, I couldn't imagine being in the bubble and then having what happened with Nashville and Dallas. Like, did you have to have some kind of like calming talks with players? Because that would have probably freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah. I think, you know, for us, our guys had a lot of questions. Obviously, we were coming from, as you guys know, Canada, Toronto, where things seem to be relatively under control, and people feeling safe and good leadership and people being mindful of what they're doing. And when we were looking down in Florida in general and in the States, and then the bubble was working the way it was supposed to work, but it wasn't very comfortable seeing teams come in and bring positive cases into what seemed to be into the bubble. So guys were concerned. We needed to answer a lot of questions. We needed to talk as a group. We needed to get our heads wrapped around it. And then, you know, when we came down, we started to, you know, after day, and once we got to day seven, really, guys, I think, started to relax a little bit and understand that the bubble itself was working, and the point of finding these cases was so that it wouldn't spread inside the bubble. So, but it took a little while. Yes, it was unnerving, and like I said, we needed to get some answers. The league gave us answers, and all of the answers that they gave us have played out in a positive way, and the event's been good since then. But it definitely, there was some questions we needed answers for, and some talks that we needed to have before we came down.
Greg, finally, before we let you go, you've been fantastic as always. And I mean, I've never covered a TFC game while you're working the sideline. This might be a better question for KJ, but with all the mics around you and all the cameras, you know, as a viewer back here in Toronto, every third cuss word is making its way through. Have you had to adjust?
It's been a lot of fun, to be honest.
It's been kind of amazing. I'm not gonna lie to you. Have you had to adjust, or is Greg Vanney normally PG-13 as he is on a sideline?
I haven't intentionally adjusted. I'm aware that they're there. So sometimes when I get going, I'm aware of it, but sometimes things just come out unfiltered. There's no two ways about it. It's competition, and sometimes it's frustration, and sometimes it's just trying to get somebody's attention. I don't know where it comes from, but some of it's not filtered. Some of it just comes. I'm aware that it's coming through, but sometimes it's just, I'm not going to change my approach. I'm not going to change who I am. I still react the way I react, but I guess you get to hear a little bit more now than you used to with fans in the building. So I've read some always... bad stuff that people have put out there quoting me, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that play.
Right. I've enjoyed it immensely, honestly. And every coach, like just hearing that chatter to me is, as a guy who loves sports and enjoys football a lot, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Anyways, we love talking football with you. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it, as always.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.